Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Most of this hour, we're going to have our, well, I think it's May, June open line. We haven't had one of these in a long time. After the election is over, what do you talk about, right? Now, there's many things to talk about. But we'd like to give you a chance to call in with suggestions for programs because you're very smart and engaged and you do a lot of reading, and so you give us terrific suggestions. So we're going to be opening phone lines in just a moment at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Before we get going with our open line, though, on Saturday morning, this past Saturday, very early in the morning, Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, the wonderful producers of this program, had what I keep telling them, and I'm sure they realized after they went on this journey, and I wish I could have accompanied them, but I couldn't. They went to Washington, D.C. with over 220 World War II veterans as part of the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Wisconsin. And we're going to talk to them just briefly about their extraordinary journey. They're going to do a documentary for us. We'll let you know when that's going to happen, but I wanted them to join us at the top of the show. Somewhat reluctantly, I must say, but it's a big thing. They went on a big trip, and so I thought you'd be interested in hearing what happened. And thank you very much, Rhonda and Brett. It was a long day, but one that's going to stay with you. How many people went on the flight, Rhonda?
I think there were 220 vets, and each of them had a chaperone.
So there were
440 people, two 757s, uh-huh. And a couple of media people, and then all of the great Honor Flight volunteers that were organizers of the event were there.
Will
as well.
This day stay with you forever, Brett?
Yeah, definitely. It was something that I was thinking who in my life I would be able to take, because a lot of the volunteers, the guardians, were children or grandchildren or in-law folks of the vets. And I was thinking, I have, maybe a half a chance of taking somebody that I know, but, probably not. And it was a pretty unique opportunity.
Mm-hmm. The vets were all World War II veterans. Were they talkative about their experiences in the war, Rhonda?
That depended on who you talk to. A lot of them were very open and wanting to talk about it and wanting to share their stories, knowing that maybe they won't have that long to share these stories for much longer. And I think having their loved ones there as well helped them share their experiences in the war. Some people, were just there and wanting to experience it themselves and with their loved ones and really didn't want to share that with anyone else. So that mm-hmm. was to be.
There was a couple, maybe one or two that I spoke to that were really upfront about, hey, I didn't even really want to do this, and my family kind of corralled me or convinced me to go. And so then, of course, upon the return, they were very glad that they had gone.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the return is something, too, isn't it? There are all kinds of people greeting these veterans at the airport.
We had been told to expect quite the homecoming that the Mitchell Field. I mean, there was a welcoming when we got to D.C., and then we had a escort to the. We went right to the World War II Memorial, a police escort and a Harley Davidson motorcycle group escort. But we were told, nothing could prepare us for the return trip home to Mitchell Field, and. No, nothing could yeah. prepare the thousands of people that came out, the service members who were there, the acting service members, high school bands. There was a
bagpipe group, quite loud bagpipe group, and cheerleaders, and then thousands and thousands of family members and friends that turned out for each individual, vet who was on one of the two flights.
Mm. Not too many dry eyes in that group. Mine wouldn't have been very dry, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah. And tell me about the organization that does this. They've been doing this for some time now. I'm amazed how many vets went on this journey.
They said that every time they keep narrowing down their list of vets on the waiting list that, 100 more sign up. So they're just trying to get as many flights going as they possibly can. They've been going for a couple years now. A lot of people that I talk to, this is kind of their 10th or 11th trip of the volunteers and then the medical staff and the organizers, they're going to have a Field of Honor event, and I think that we're going to try to put the show together before that happens on August 11th. So maybe we can have some of the vets that Brett and I met on the trip as guests on that in the lead up to that event. That's going to be at Miller Park, August 11th. You can get more information at their website. It's starsandstripeshonorflight.org.
Starsandstripeshonorflight.org.
And it's an all-day event. Well, it's from 3:30 to 9 p.m. at night at Miller Park. And so they're trying to get veterans from all over the state to reunite for one big, maybe perhaps, you know, last reunion for many of them. Mm. But the honor flights will continue as long as, you know, donations and support and World War II veterans who are interested in going, they're going to keep it going.
I was wondering, as we were as we've been talking incessantly about how divided this state is and how people, there's not a lot of goodwill at this moment. And when I think about an honor flight like this, you know, if somehow we could capture what has happened, what you witnessed, it's something that draws everybody together, doesn't it? You can be conservative, you can be liberal. The fact that we're honoring World War II vets who fought in a war that most people would agree was a very important war, and many of these people were extremely heroic. If we can capture somehow that feeling of goodwill, I don't know how we do it, but
if you would have been at Mitchell Airport at 9:30 on Saturday night, I don't think that you would feel the same way. I think that captured it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a day of their politics didn't come up really at all, you know, and so I don't know if that, I'm not sure if that's a sign of unity or if that's a sign of just wanting to avoid it altogether, to kind of carve out a special like space of just enjoyment for the day. But you know, it was a, yeah, Rhonda's right. It's like everybody was on, it was in one mind on Saturday night for sure.
Mm-hmm. Did you gather some extraordinary stories? I mean, they all are in their own way.
Stories,
I'm sure.
And photographs. I'll start. I'm just going through the last hour. We have about, between Brett and I, took about 400 pictures.
Oh my gosh!
And I don't know how
really?
Many hours of video or audio. So I'll put the pictures hopefully today on Facebook.
Wonderful.
And then Brett and I will work on getting the audio together and hopefully posting some interviews and playing a piece on your show.
Okay, so you're looking at sometime before August for a documentary.
She's trying to give us a deadline, I think, Rhonda.
I think we definitely, our
goal is to have something, you know, to preview the honor, the Field of Honor event on August 11th. That's right. Definitely a goal.
Okay. All right. I'm so glad you went. I'm just so glad
I'm so
you
glad
went
I got
this.
The opportunity.
Yeah. And thank you. They brought me a T-shirt, too. It's really wonderful.
I think
that's
wear
a polo tomorrow.
Shirt. That's more of like a
it's
polo
a,
shirt.
It's a fancy shirt. It says Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Mm-hmm. And I
and
wear
on
it.
The back is their logo.
Every day is a bonus.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you both
right,
so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
I really look forward to all the pictures. I know you sent a couple over the weekend, and I look forward to hearing all the stories, too. It was a good thing you did.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who went on the honor flight on Saturday and started very early in the morning, and it ended late at night, and I can tell they were both moved by what they saw. And we'll have a documentary down the road. All right, moving on. We're going to do an open line this hour of the show. If you have suggestions of books, boy, we've had some terrific authors on lately, haven't we? And ideas you'd like to have us cover, topics you'd like to have us cover. We don't do these very often, and it's been a long time since we had the last open line, so here it is. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org. Bob is our first caller in Stevens Point. Hi, Bob.
I heard an author on a C-SPAN. His name is J-J-A-Y, Cost, C-O-S-T, like in a price of something.
Okay.
The title of his book is Spoiled Rotten.
Spoiled Rotten.
Okay, the topic is the Democrat Party. However, just to give you an example, the callers were kind of criticized. Well, what about the Republicans? And basically his answer was, I didn't write about the Republicans, but they're both guilty. But this is kind of a historical look from a lot from Roosevelt to the present. But he'd be a good guest.
All right. Thank you, Bob. And let's go to Charles in Ingleside, Illinois. Hi, Charles.
Kathleen, callers, stated that retirees can come back and hire full time, and with that pay, not pay full income tax, federal taxes on it. And I have a pension and Social Security. I have to pay full scale on my pension and 80% full scale on my Social Security as well. Can some knowledgeable person come in and explain what may be happening according to that caller in Wisconsin? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Charles, very much for the call. We could do a show certainly on pensions and Social Security and retirement and working after you're retired, and we could do a show on that, certainly. It was a fairly provocative call, so why not do a show a little later? That's good. Lowell is next in Oostburg. Hi, Lowell.
Hi. There's actually two subjects that I'd like to hear discussed. One would be why medical costs are skyrocketing.
Okay.
And also, what are the senators and congressmen's benefits and perks that they have? Everybody else's wages and everything is on the line. I would like to hear a show that explains all their benefits and perks.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Ronaldo in Milwaukee. Hi, Ronaldo.
Hi, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like for a show to be done on Howard Dean. He made a comment in a speech on, I believe it was C-SPAN, or not C-SPAN, but CNN, that Republican Party has declared war on Hispanics. I'm a Hispanic male, and I think for that kind of comment to be made, he should have to answer for that and come with some type of data or something. If he's just saying that just to win an election, I mean, I think he should have to answer to that.
All right, Ronaldo, he'd be a good guest. We can try and get Howard Dean. He'd be an excellent guest on the show. Thank you for your suggestion. Open line, one line open on our open line, 800-486-8655. Suggestions for shows. I'm reading the new Robert Caro book on Lyndon Johnson. Started it. What a heck of a writer he is. It is a huge book, but I know that Brett's been working on having him as a guest. So those of you who are reading that, that's coming up. It's like the definitive history. He's done three previous books. I can't remember. And this is either the fourth or the fifth. So we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. Kyle in Richland Center. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking with the historic docking of SpaceX's Dragon capsule with the International Space Station and the founding with Planetary Resources Incorporated, are we looking at a new era of space exploration with the privatization in the United States?
Okay.
A show on that would be terribly interesting, I believe.
I think you're right. I agree, Kyle.
No.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
My call. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Beth in Appleton, hi.
Hi. Once every 10 years, Congress deals with a farm bill, which covers not just farms, but rural development and all the nutrition programs and the inspection of food and food safety. It's a huge, important bill. And this is the year. And you might want to do a couple shows from different perspectives. I'm associated with Bread for the World, and their annual hunger report is called Rebalancing Act. It's about the farm bill. So bread.org would have someone who could speak on it. The Environmental Working Group, EWG, you can find them on the web. They do a lot of information about farm bill, farm subsidies, nutrition programs, that kind of thing.
Good, so, good. Well, thank
huge
you.
Issues.
Thank you. Yes, they are. And thank you for alerting our attention to this, and we will do shows on that. If you have any more information, send it to us.
Doing it now, and the House will be marking it up soon in June. So
all right.
It's right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ramona is next in Green Bay. Hi, Ramona.
Hello, Kathleen. I want to say you're awesome. I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Ramon.
Sure. I just wanted to, it'd be interesting to have a show on the fact that there's so much divisiveness with the private sector and the public sector, and their big entitlements and insurance packages and whatnot. Be interesting to kind of pinpoint how the insurance companies are never to blame, and they are like 600% plus profit. And when you drive by their large empires on the side of the highway, you see nothing but you don't see boarded up windows or anything like that. You see meditation gardens and fountains and walking trails and et cetera, et cetera. I don't see a shared sacrifice, and maybe kind of talk about the insurance companies. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks, Ramon. I don't know if there's an answer other than that would be a good show. It is remarkable, when you get to be as old as I am, how many conversations you have over and over and over again. But one of them is healthcare, that's for sure. We've done a whole year of shows. Remember that? Was it 2 years ago? And had a major conference at Frederick Hospital on healthcare reform. And I can remember vividly a lot of conversations where people from all political persuasions were at these very microphones agreeing that something had to be done. And here we are, still having the same conversation, so it's worth having that again. And thanks, Ramon, for the call. Let's go to Dean in Green Bay. Hi, Dean.
Hi, this is Steve in Green Bay.
Oh, it's Steve. Hi, Steve. Oh,
hi.
Hi.
I've read a book. It's called The Vatican Exposed, published in 2003 by Paul L. Williams, which goes through more of the recent history, but a lot of history of the Catholic Church, and it's quite fascinating. And he's written a number of other books, but if you could get him on, I think he'd be a fascinating guest.
Okay.
The book was published by Prometheus Books. I don't know if you need their address to contact.
No, we don't, Steve.
Okay.
All right, it was 2003? All right.
The book was published, yep.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Goodbye. Jeff in Neenah. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'd like to suggest a book that I'm reading right now. It's called Most Human Human by Brian Christian. It's all about, this one guy dated a girl online for over a year, and then they decided to meet. And he found out he was communicating with a computer program, and the computer program did this all on its own. And it begs the question of, can computers think?
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
It is. It's a wonderful book. Please try to get the author on.
Who's the author?
Brian Christian.
Brian Christian?
Right. Okay. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N.
Okay. All right, Jeff. We'll look into that. Sounds intriguing.
Great, thank you.
Sure, bye. Saeed in Green Bay, hi.
Yes, good morning. The broad area is education reform, but in specific, what I would like to recommend is a organization called Democrats for Education Reform and their policy recommendations in a recent documentary that I saw called, I think it's called A Right Denied. I may be wrong on the exact title, but it is fitting that all across the country in big urban centers like Los Angeles, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York, we see Democratic mayors pitted against the teachers' unions, all arguing that the unions are the biggest impediment to education reform, as is the position of Democrats for Education Reform. The subject's very important, as recent ACT studies show that 70% of U.S. graduates are inadequately prepared, high school graduates inadequately prepared to take an introductory class in college in math and science. So the subject's very important, and I think these people are on to something.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Democrats for Education Reform. We're doing an open line. It's been a long time since we've had one, and so we didn't want any more time to go by without having one. So here it is this hour. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And you're giving suggestions for future programs. And we're writing them down, and we'll follow through on some of them. I'm sincere. We will. We will. We will. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a reminder that we will have election coverage tomorrow night here on the Ideas Network. It will cover the Senate elections and, of course, the governor and lieutenant governor races. It will start at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and it's very complete and extremely thorough. We have reporters all over the state who have been covering these issues and these races for a long time. So it's a good place to listen to your returns. And then on Wednesday, I know Joy Cardine will have 3 hours of discussion of what happens tomorrow. We will, the first hour of our program on Wednesday, be speaking with Mike Goucher, the moderator of the debate that you saw last Thursday, and Craig Gilbert, who covers not only what's going on in the state, but what's going on nationally. Washington correspondent for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So that's coming up on Wednesday, and we hope that you will listen after you vote tomorrow. Kyle is next in Waukesha. Hi, Kyle.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, Kyle, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I'd like to actually hear a show from some humanist out there, secular humanist.
Uh-huh.
Possibly Tom Flynn from the Council of Secular Humanism, or Dan Barker and Annie Yalor from Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Uh-huh. You want a nice, you want a nice, not
party from a humanist.
All right, you want a nice non-controversial show, right, Kyle?
Oh yeah, sure. That'd be really uncontroversial.
Right, that's for sure. Okay.
Well, we need something to replace all the politics after this.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that too. I love politics. I've always loved politics, and maybe I get too interested in reading too much about it, and then it's over, and you got to switch gears and. So maybe you need to talk about secular humanism. I don't know.
Sure. Either that or give us some recipes for fancy Jell-Os.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that was funny. Jennifer in Cassville. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
It's Kathleen, but I'm fine. I think Joy is, too. It's all right.
This is, I was thinking of a show on green energy and the future of it in Wisconsin. And since this is a dairy state, I was thinking the who's using biodigesters and what kind of incentives there are to use them, and if they are something that a lot of farmers could use. Just as part of a show on renewable energy.
Okay.
For Wisconsin. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a good idea, Jennifer.
Okay, well, great.
Okay.
You have a great day.
You too, please. Okay. All right, goodbye, Jennifer.
Bye.
Peter in Shelby. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Kathleen, you did a wonderful interview with Buddy Guy the other day.
Oh,
it was so much fun.
Oh, I had a great time.
I didn't know that you were an entertainment interviewer, but if there's any chance to bring back some of those old musical pioneers and do another interview, it was really wonderful. We deal with all these serious issues, and then you understand the humility of Buddy Guy and in his place in that music genre.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad to hear that, because I just loved doing that interview.
I can tell. And
I loved his book, too. It's just, it amazes me how people can come from absolutely nothing, and they've got a dream and an idea, and he had it when he was just a little kid. It was a very moving story, and he's such a humble man. He's a big name in the whole industry, and he's just a humble man. I'm glad you liked it. I love that interview.
Good.
Yeah. All right, Peter.
Do it again. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, we're happy to do those. We did one on Aretha Franklin being inducted in the Music Hall of Fame. We did another one when Earl Scruggs died. That was a wonderful show as well. So we like to do those, not necessarily on the death of somebody. It's nice when somebody's alive still, too, but we like doing those programs. Tributes, really, to enormous talents. Greg is next in Madison. Hi, Greg.
Thanks, Kathleen, and I just want to chime in on the last caller, because while you were gone, John Munson did an interview with Greg Allman.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I read on Facebook he was doing that. Yeah, did you hear it?
It was spectacular.
Was it? Good. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, but I just wanted to call and chime in on the other caller about the benefits packages. When you do that show, I request that you get somebody who can answer what the market rates are for benefits packages, because the private sector has to pay that 30% on their employees, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, when I worked at the DNR as a hydrogeologist, there were hydrogeologists working in the private sector. I know my employer had to allocate more money than my salary for my benefit package. But if I went out in the private sector, my employer would have to allocate more money for my benefits package. So, you know, when the recall surfaced, we were talking about how much money people in the public sector were getting paid compared to people in the private sector. Well, you know, that's apples to apples. Let's do oranges to oranges. What are the benefit packages in the private sector? And you can't expect government to employ people and not have to deal with market conditions of, you know, the insurance companies are private companies. They charge, they may, the government may actually get a better deal on
yeah,
those benefit packages. So that was
would
my
be,
thought.
It would be a good show for us to do, to understand how they're devised and who gets what and not, you know, yell at each other, you got this, I don't have this, whatever. But just to figure out what's going on with the whole system. I like it. I think it's a good show idea. So I thank you, Greg. All right, Greg is gone. Thanks. Carmen in Waukesha. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
Hi.
It's kind of a difficult situation, but what I would like to have is experts, psychologists, psychiatrists, or whatever, dealing with children going through an international divorce. I had gone through an international divorce and custody battle. My ex is in Germany, and my children have suffered greatly. My son has been suicidal, and my daughter, other different things. And, from the age of 5 through 11, you know, having to deal with a son who I've had to take knives away from him because he did not want to go to his father and different things like that. And so I think, you know, because this world is really small, and living in places where you have to deal with governments of other countries and systems of other countries, and we were forced to live against our will over in Germany, and we finally got the right to come back to the United States, and we were over there for 5.5 years. And my children suffer on a daily basis. And as a single mom, it is extremely challenging to deal with and to have experts out there to help me go through this and my children go through this, I think is important.
All right. Thank you, Carmen. I'm sorry it's been so horrendous for you. We could certainly broaden the topic so that we're looking at the effects of divorce on children, and I think that's a worthwhile conversation, and I hope things are become a little smoother in your life, because that's hard. Thank you very much for your call and suggestion. Peter in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
All right, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing super. Hey, my suggestion is that you have on Patrick Rothfuss, who has written 2 books in his trilogy, a fantasy trilogy, Name of the Wind and A Wise Man's Fear. And he's one of the biggest names in the fantasy genre now, and he's right here in Wisconsin. And I would love to hear him interviewed.
All right, Peter. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Tomorrow, Frank DeFord will be with us. I love listening to Frank DeFord on NPR. He has a new memoir, Over Time. He's a fabulous writer, and he will be with us tomorrow at 10. Do we have other books coming up that we should let people know about? I don't know if Brett can hear me. He's answering phone calls. Or if Rhonda's listening. If we have other things that we can let people know what's coming up. I'm just back from vacation. I don't know what's coming up yet. I will this afternoon, but I'm not sure what's coming up right now, other than Frank DeFord tomorrow. And there's an election tomorrow, and we'll talk about what happened Wednesday. All right. Peter, thanks very much for the call. And good, Brett heard me, so he's writing things down. Odd presidential facts. Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. Odd presidential facts on Thursday at 10 o'clock. Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to read. Mary in Harshaw. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is on health, I guess. You know, a lot of people are mostly couch potatoes. But there is this man. His name is Robert Sweetgall. And he walked across America. He walked every 50 states. And I don't have the phone number, but his, you can get him on creativewalking.com.
Why did he do this, Mary?
Health, and to show that people just moving a little will help, prevent diseases like heart disease, hypertension, diabetes.
Yes. Okay. And how do you spell his last name?
His last name is spelled S-W-E-E-T.
S-W-E-E-T-A-L-L. I'm sorry, I was talking over you. S-W-E-E-T what?
And that's creativewalking.com.
I'm sorry, I just missed the last name again. Sweet what?
Gall.
Oh, Gall.
G-A-L-L.
Okay. Okay, yeah, you got to move. I'm with him. Got to move. Time for a walk today, huh, Mary?
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Lynette in Milwaukee. Hi, Lynette.
Hi. I was thinking that it would be good if you did a show on what is class warfare. We hear so much about, oh, this is class warfare. And it seems to me that someone's talking about teachers. Like, we got a situation where teachers are the bad guys. Public workers are bad people, and they're to blame for everybody's problems. That sounds like class warfare to me, against working class and lower class. But then you hear Republicans say, oh, it's against rich people. It's class warfare. So what is class warfare?
All right. Thank you. You have given us an interesting suggestion. Thank you. Thanks, Lynette. We have open lines now. If you've been trying to get through, we've been crowded. Here's our number. It's an open line for, probably May and June. Certainly, we haven't had one of these in a long time, but they're valuable. I like doing these because you give us good suggestions. We can't all read everything or be in touch with all of the ideas that are out in this universe. So it's good to have your eyes and ears and then call in with your suggestions. It's 800-486-8655 is our number. Brett Jaspers is answering your phone calls, and we'll get you on the air and get your suggestion written down, and maybe on the air discussion too, coming up. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's open line for the month of the merry months of May and June. 800-486-8655 is the number. Adam in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I want to suggest having the author Ali Soufan on. He wrote the book The Black Banners, and it's the inside story of 9/11 and the Afghan War. He's a retired FBI agent that actually investigated the USS Cole bombing. And in the book, he talks about how he requested information from the CIA, which they never gave to him, and if he would have gotten that information, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. It was just basic communication.
We had also, I just want, Adam, we've had him on.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, so if you go to our, if you go to WPR Kathleen Dunn Show, it's probably archived if you'd like to hear that.
Well, then I will hear that.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. We were just a step ahead of you. Doesn't always happen, but it was a very interesting book. Did you have another suggestion then, Adam? No. Okay. Let's go to Tom in Chicago. Hi, Tom.
Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Right. Am I on now?
You are, indeed.
Yeah. I wanted to suggest a peace activist, a Jesuit priest named John Deere, spelled D-E-A-R. And he has kind of carrying on for the Berrigans, and I think he deserves a wider audience. He was at spoke at our church not long ago.
Where is he from, Tom?
I don't really know where he's from. I'm from Minnesota, and he spoke at our church in Minnesota.
Okay. We'll look him up.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Bernie in Menominee Falls. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I don't know much about Grover Norquist. I would like to know more about him and why this man has such a stranglehold on the Republican Party as far as not raising taxes.
So you'd like to have him on?
Either him on or somebody that's kind of knows who this person is really about and what he stands for and how he's got such a stranglehold.
All right, Bernie. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen. Enjoy your show, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two ideas for interviews with women. Too bad it's not National Women's Month. But anyway, one is with Lynn Rosetto Casper, who's the host of the Splendid Table mm-hmm. out of Minnesota Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And just about her background, and she's you know, interesting. The other is with Wisconsin Public Radio's own Jean Faraca,
mm-hmm.
who has such a myriad of interests and such a you know, wealth of background and so forth. I thought it would be interesting to hear her, you know, tell her story.
All right. Good suggestions, Lynn.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. We go to Mark in Brookfield. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Kathleen. How
are
you doing?
All right. How are you?
Great. Say, it's Hemp History Week this week, and I think it would be nice for you to do more stories on industrial hemp, not the psychoactive stuff, but for fiber, food, and fuel. There's 25,000 uses for it, and if we get the word out that we can get our farmers to grow it and pass legislation through for it, we can put a lot of farmers creating a valuable product and manufacturing to put a lot of people back to work, and it would be great for our economy.
Okay, Mark.
Could I plug HempFest, a free concert we're doing for the cause Sunday?
Well, you've already done half of the plug, so finish it off. Sure.
God bless you. It's Sunday, June 10th. We're going to have the Hemptations and the Carpetbaggers and the Benetones at 68th and State Street in Wauwatosa from noon till 12. We'll have hemp samples there. We'll be teaching the public about the benefits and the healthy benefits of hemp, industrial hemp. And come on down.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, Mark. Sandy in Algoma. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hey, I have two suggestions. One is I'd like to have a show about the book Whitewash by Joseph Keon, and he is a doctor who has done a lot of research and compiled information about just how bad dairy products are for us. And, I mean, much more so than I would ever have imagined. I read this book, and we are now dairy-free, so my whole family. And the other thing is that I would like to have somebody on who would talk about just how bad these factory farms are for our state and the damage that they're doing to individual communities. And I'd like to suggest a speaker for that, and his name is Lynn Utesh. And he is a grass-fed beef farmer in the Algoma area, and he's very active in fighting these factory farms, and he's just a really good land steward.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
Sandy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Thank Bye. You. Tim in Bayfield. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Yes, I have two suggestions. One would be Maury Snyder, the woman that has MS and climbed Mount Everest and all the highest peaks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in Bayfield, and it's quite a feat to do that. Second thing is brain development for teenagers causes a lot of havoc for parents, and for them to have some information in that area would be fantastic.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Adele in Cudahy. Hi, Adele.
Yes. Hello. This is Adele. And I love listening to NPR. I really enjoy it. And there's a runner that I know here in Milwaukee. And he has lost over 90 pounds, and he's being included in a documentary that's being called From Fat to Finish Line, and there's 12 people that are going to do a relay, and they have all together collectively lost 2,000 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. How'd they do it? How did they do it, Adele, to make what I'm sure is a long story short?
They all got into running.
Hmm.
And so they run during things, marathons, this man is just really amazing. So it's on Facebook, at To Finish Line, the documentary, and it's just very, very, very interesting. And he's very open about what he's done and where he's come from and how he will never go back.
Well, we'll try and track him down. That sounds like a fascinating story.
Okay.
And inspirational.
Name? Should I give his name?
I think not. What is it?
Okay. Pardon?
What is his name?
Rick, R-I-K.
Okay.
And then it's A-K-E-Y.
A-K-E-Y?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Adele.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bill in Dubuque. Hi.
Hi.
I was going to suggest to kind of change the format by having a special thing on Monday, a different thing on Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Wednesday potpourri, maybe Thursday would be history, like presidential oddities that you were talking about before. And like Tuesday, it could be social science. You've got access to professors there who are happy to come on your show, and you could work in philosophy. Nobody does philosophy anymore on the air. You could work that into potpourri someday. And when the big news breaks in an election or like tomorrow, what's going on, you can always, kick off your regular routine. But there are so many professors who are so profound. And another thing is authors. Book TV on the weekend has some excellent authors telling the background of their book and stories. That would be a great one for like Friday. You know, do current authors, or even go over Mark Twain and what somebody, a professor that understands Mark Twain very well, and work on a book that the author, you know, just talk about the author and not so much the book. Do you understand where I'm Milton Rosenberg in Chicago had one of the top 10 radio talking programs for years until he went political. But that's what he did. He had access to the University of Chicago scholars, University of Illinois and Circle Campus in Chicago, plus a bunch of other small colleges, as you do up there in Wisconsin. So that's the kind of thing I'd like to hear, a set program, generally speaking. If you had history on Tuesdays, I would cancel everything on Tuesday just to listen to the history program.
What if I have history on Thursday?
Okay, that's fine. Whatever day you have it, at least it's
okay.
Consistent.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Okay. Thanks very much for the call. The problem with doing that is that if you listen to this show, you know we have a wide variety of subjects and guests, and you can't just, it's hard to adhere to a day. We do, the only one we do is Mondays at 9 for all things political, because we look at the political news of the weekend, and it's the only thing that we've adhered to. I used to do a parenting show on Tuesdays when I was doing afternoon hours. And maybe there's something to be said for, I don't know, something history. We try to do history at least once a month with a major history book on World War II. We've done a lot of shows on the Civil War. But I think you run a risk if you schedule it that there are going to be a lot of people who don't want to hear that show, and so they won't listen to you, or you're going to miss somebody's appearance in Milwaukee because you've got it set in stone that you're going to do history on Wednesday. So we don't do it that way. We like to mix it up more. Although, you know, perhaps we could be convinced to do history on Thursday. I don't know. What do you think? We'd have to ask you. What do you think? Thank you, Bill, in Dubuque, where we did politics in 2008 and had a great time in Dubuque, I might add. Ken in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Kathleen. Say, because I was listening to your program earlier, stumbling across your open line, this is a topic that Joy and Ben have covered, but yet, because you happen to have an open line, I'm looking for all sources to get the topic out. But it has to do with the post office. Whenever WPR seems to have a guest regarding this subject, it's from a standpoint of the Heritage Foundation or the Cato Institute, and it's what I would consider a conservative attempt to privatize the post office aspect. And because the guest always has the last thing to say, regardless of what the callers might come up with, it's always on the aspect of, well, my perspective is to shut the post office down and privatize it. And I would like to suggest the guest, and because of your open line, I'm looking for any avenue to try to see if I can get him on. And that would be for a professor out of NYU, a literature professor, who has created a website, and this is all one word, savethepostoffice.com.
Savethepostoffice.com.
Right, and the literature professor's name is Steve Hutkins, H-U-T as in Tom, K-I-N-S.
Okay.
And I'd like to see if I could coerce WPR, either through yourself or Ben or Joy, to try to see if this gentleman could be a guest on your program regardless. And so, because the Senate has passed legislation regarding the post office in the last, I think, 4 or 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
the House of Representatives is going to have to do something.
All right. Well, it surely would be something that one of us would be interested in talking about, so we'll look at it. And thank you, Ken, for your call. Derek in Wausau, hi.
Hi there. I would like to suggest the astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. He wrote a book recently. I can't remember the name of it, but basically he advocates for, you know, kind of a reversal of trends and really putting a lot of funding into education and technology and infrastructure, kind of like how the space race in the 60s really, you know, helped revitalize a lot of industries and helped train a lot of scientists and get people excited about education and science. And I think he'd be a great guest and very entertaining.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Derek. Mm-hmm. Bye. Ron and Nina. Hi, Ron.
Hey. Suggest the topic of discussing the state of Wisconsin's fisheries, particularly interested in the effects of a slot limit on the Winnebago system, if it makes for a better fishery or worse. Talk a little discussion about which size fish someone should harvest. I think anyone from the DNR would be good. Ron Birch, he knows a lot of that stuff. Shannon Davis Faust is a fisheries biologist out of UW Oshkosh. So,
all right,
that's my suggestion.
To be perfectly honest with you, it sounds like a show that Larry Mueller would do.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right. It really doesn't fit our format very much, but I will pass this suggestion along to that program.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks so much for the call. Bob in Holzen. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you doing, Kathleen?
Fine, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
Say, I'd like to hear a show on maybe some people from UW or the Milk Marketing Board on the cheese industry in Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Master Cheesemakers Program.
Okay. You went that on the hour after Don't Eat Dairy? Just kidding. That was the earlier suggestion. Okay, Wisconsin cheese industry. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call. Mary in Richland Center is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I'd like you to ask some Baha'is to come on the show and give you information as to the Baha'i faith and what we're doing to promote unity, not only in the towns and the states and the country and the continents, but also the world. Everything seems to be all about division right now, and if there was ever a time we needed unity, it is now. And the Baha'is can be contacted. They're in the cities. They're all over the place, Madison, Milwaukee. Headquarters are in Wilmette, Illinois. They can be found, Baha'i.org.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Scott in Madison. Hi.
Hi. Thanks, Kathleen. I wanted to recommend that you speak with the artistic director of Broom Street Theater, and her name is Heather Lincoln, and they've been doing like experimental theater for like 43 years in Madison. So, I think
really,
that's the topic.
Has it been that long? 43 years,
yeah.
Lordy. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, we started doing a lot more theater-related shows in the last 6 months or so. It's fun. That's a good suggestion. Joan in Shorewood. Hi.
Hello. Kathleen, not much has been said recently about the water quality and the pollution of the land out in the western part of the state since Dr. Darrell Long wanted to drill for high-capacity well water and give it to the people and sell it, actually, in the Kickapoo. And a great speaker would be Cynthia Olmsted, who is the co-chair of the Viroqua Stewardship Network, and they are monitoring the water in the Kickapoo, and also the Farm and Food Initiative. We're talking a lot about healthier living for our children, but saving the water and preserving the water in these areas is so important, and with industry trying to come in at Ferryville, they want to put in a hydroelectric power dam. All of this is damaging the water quality that everyone has to drink. So I would really hope that you would get either Cynthia Olmstead or the head of the, he's the head of the Kickapoo Watershed people trying to keep this man from taking our water and selling it.
All right. Thank you, Joan, very much for your call. One more call, almost out of time. David in Rhinelander. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen. I'm a big music fan, and I love your shows on music and icons. But we just lost an icon in the musical world, Doc Watts.
Yes. Yes, we did.
And his life story is just amazing.
Yes.
And he's influenced guitar players and musicians for a couple generations. So I'd love to hear an hour on Doc Watts.
I would, too. I love the guy. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see what we can do that. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and Katie Mattson earlier on for answering your many phone calls. Just a reminder that tomorrow night is election returns at 8 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Tomorrow during Wednesday during the daytime shows, we'll have a lot of response to what we did tomorrow in the state of Wisconsin, and we hope that you will listen to that. And Frank DeFord is with us tomorrow at 10. That's it. Have a good day.